Theist Podcast. If you want to have an open and honest discussion where your opinion will not be judged, you have come to the right place. I'm Jonathan, and we will be discussing beliefs, non-beliefs, and any questions dealing with religions. My co-hosts are George, John, along with our intrepid producer, Robert. And we are the A Theist Podcast.
Hello, folks. This is Jonathan. Just wanted to do an interview since you haven't actually had an official meeting with our guest host, who has become more than just a guest host, Jay. How are you doing tonight, Jay?
I'm doing great. A little tired, but you know, always great to praise Jesus, you know?
Oh, yeah. Of course. That's always a good thing. So, just give us a little bit of background on you. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be atheistic. It doesn't have to be theistic. Just who is Jay?
Let's see. Born and raised for roughly half, a little bit more of my life in Atlanta. Grady baby. And, you know, I honestly, as a military child, my mother married a soldier, army man at eight. When I was eight, and we moved around. First place was Chicago. Then, I mean, I've traveled everywhere, got to experience a lot of things. And, you know, I've kind of tried to live my life as great as I can, knowing that, you know, especially with the way things are nowadays, any day can be your last. And so, you know, I've tried to learn as much as possible. And I think I have. I'm a graphic artist, a business owner. I own a clothing line. I'm now a host for not only this podcast, but my own podcast, and occasionally the Sounds of Science podcast that we have. You know, I've always found that I've ended up doing a lot, but, you know, it's been great. I am definitely more than meets the eye, I think, to most people.
Now, you say that you're an artist and that you're, you know, you like doing artistic things. Was that something that you just came to? Was it something that always was? Did you meld between the two of just coming to it? Or how did that come about? Because I have a little bit of mechanical back and I can create stuff. How does that come about?
I was fortunate enough to, when my mother first had me at 18, we were living with my grandparents, because obviously at 18, you're not just going to up and move out. And one of the things I was really fortunate to have was a grandmother who always supported anything I really chose to do. I mean, really anything. She really pushed towards the arts and just made sure, her and my grandfather both made sure that they nurtured my creative side. And so I've always been around drawing things. I would take their old papers they would give me, because we couldn't really afford drawing pads. And they would give me the old papers from work, and I would draw on the back of them. And they still have the whole Tupperware things full of drawings of mine. And as I've gotten older, it's kind of progressed. Around 10 or 11, I started to really get into music. Got a cornet, which is like a small version of a trumpet for some people who don't know. started playing a trumpet. Then, you know, I end up writing music. And not just, you know, sheet music, but I ended up writing lyrics, writing songs, followed the path of every other minority and started writing raps and poetry. I could never paint, but I could always draw. And one time, a person I consider like my brother, we call him Fluff and Stuff, huge German, blue eyes, blonde hair, short and fat. He was going to be a graphic artist. He was just doing something to get money, and he had a drawing pad, which is now mine. It was just a little Wacom, like the cheapest one you can get. And I remember he sat me in front of it, and I write in cursive. I think I'm one of the few in my current generation that can still write in cursive. And I wrote, you know, I was just writing stuff. He came in. He was like, that's amazing. Like, he called mom in. He called everyone in to look at it. And then the more I played around with it, the more I realized that I could actually make cool stuff with my computer. And since then, I ran with graphic art, and I see, you know, and I ran with music especially, and I just started to see that, you know, art really could do something for me. I always wanted to be an artist. I always wanted to, I mean, when I was little, I wanted to draw for the rest of my life. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten a lot more practical with what I wanted to do. But I was able to find out that, you know, graphic artists make a lot if done right. And I, you know, I can code websites and I can do the graphics for it and you know, make way more. And I can sell my art and I can, you know, I start doing the clothing line because I was like, I can put my art on shirts and stuff and people will pay to advertise me.
So it sounds like,
and it just, and really, like, that's a show of support.
You don't really make a definition between the art. It's just art for you. It's not drawing. It's not graphic. It's not sculpture. It's not music. It's just the art to you.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, honestly, art is one of those things that no matter how you express it, even if it's just writing, even if it's just a book, it's still art. It's just how you express it. You know, obviously some people are better at speaking, some people are better at writing. Other people, like we, I interviewed Glendon Mello, who is extremely more talented as an artist than me, working through various forms of media. But at the end of the day, art is just a thing. It's just a concept, this thing that's kind of always existed as long as humanity has existed. And how we express it is the only thing that's different.
It's pretty much like it's a physical law, but it's just a human physical law. I mean, it's infamiliar. You know, you can't necessarily tie it down to one thing or the other. But to people of your mindset, it literally is just a law. I mean, it's something that you can adhere to. These are the rules. If you don't do these certain things, or even if you, I can't say you can't, that you have to adhere to these particular rules, but if you stray too far outside of these rules, people are going to think you're not smart, and then they're going to be like, I'm going to dismiss you. And I know that's a really messed up way to go about it, but it really is a set of rules. You know, art is art. Am I straying too far outside of the realms of my, you know, tiny little brain set about art?
No, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, art has always been, it's always been there. It's given people a way to express themselves, whether it was people, you know, you had the resurgence, you know, during the Harlem Renaissance, where you had this huge emergence of black art, and they were expressing their black communities at the time. And things that were going on and how they felt and just things around them. You've had music, which has been around forever. you know, art has always given people a space to express themselves, even if everyone else in the outside world looks at you like you're crazy and they question you or they think you're unintelligent. I mean, a lot of things can be said. Look at your modern day rapper. A lot of people who aren't, you know, fans of rap, right, or look at things at face level, would look at them and look at just their lyrics at base level and say that's unintelligent. But these people, a lot of people, no matter what level, a lot of them are true wordsmiths, they're true artists. When you look at technically what they're doing, whether they even know it or not, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Like that art is, because it is one of those things that really doesn't have a necessary definition, it's just an expression of self. It puts everyone in an even playing field. So it's almost as if I treat certain things like true measures of skill. And while we can playfully, you know, joke about which rapper is better, which artist or you know, whether Picasso or whoever else it may be, at the end of the day, they're all on the same playing field. They're all doing the same thing. They're simply expressing themselves. Art is almost as if, I know some people consider reality is just a matter of perception, how you perceive something. So what may be good art to you is bad art to someone else. But at the end of the day, the one thing that cannot be denied is it is art.
And just to play up with what you were saying about what is and is not art, I'm fairly, well, I'm 100, almost 100, I can't say 100% sure. I'm 99.99% of the positive that the artist Randall Monroe of XKCD, he does stick figures. And people have actually made posters and put them yes. up as art and literal art. It's sometimes the simplest thing is the most artistic thing you could possibly ever say, you know?
I can agree with that. That is, like I said, it's almost as if sometimes less is really more.
Let's move on to something else. I already know you have your own project. Instead of pinning this in the end where normally people would, like, fast forward, let's throw them a curveball. What is the stuff that makes Jay tick and makes him do what he's supposed to do or wants to do?
Well, when it comes to art, I've always liked to express myself, whether it be on the stage or anywhere else. When it comes to, I would call it secular activism, to not rustle any jimmies. It's always been a need for me to see the world become a better place, to leave my offspring, you know, my children, a better place to be, to leave the earth better than when I happened upon it, when I came out and saw that this is the earth and this is good. And so secular activism has been one of those ways that I can do it, you know, see a lot of problems caused by religion and just other things. Secular activism isn't just, a lot of people don't think about it, but secular activism isn't just about religion. It's activism at its base. And so one of the things I get to do as a secular activist is I get to help people, regardless of their faith, regardless of their sexuality, regardless of their socioeconomic standing. I get to help people, and that's something that's always been interesting to me, and always been just a real thing to do for me. You know,
I would like to just point out to a bunch of listeners that Jay is actually younger than some of our children, so. If this doesn't give you hope for the future, nothing else will. I promise you.
I actually feel kind of honored. Thank you. For those who don't know, I guess since we did the SOS of Biology Babe and she put the secret out there, Reverend Meadows, or, you know, whatever name some people know me by, or whatever face you may know me by, I am 17 years old. I'm a 98 baby. I won't be 18 till next year.
And now I am officially putting this out there publicly. Officially effing old. Oh. But you know what? The good thing is I have you. And your influence or my influence over you, possibly, and making things possibly a little bit better for the my kids, my grandkids, and my great-great-grandkids that I'm going to die and not be able to see. So you actually make me feel a hell of a lot better.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's the whole goal, is to, you know, come in and find what we have, you know, and leave it better than what we found it. Always do better. I feel like even if you can't get rid of religion or anything else, we should try to unify as a species, because at the end of the day, we are all we got. Until we have confirmed alien life forms and we know that they're not going to come kill us, we are it in the universe. Everything that is on Earth, we are the one and only. And so we need to take care of the one, like, space, you know, Earth is a spaceship. It travels around space. That's what the only thing we got. If we don't take care of this, once it's gone, it's gone. We don't have any other mode. It's like having one car. You don't have another mode of transportation. You don't have anywhere else to stay. It's just what it is. So we need to take care of our home, and Earth is our home at the end of the day.
Yes, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm gonna ask you two more questions. Yeah, I know. He's all about terraforming Earth before we terraform Mars. I'm gonna ask you two more questions. One is not a gotcha question. It is more, I just listened to what you were saying. you were saying the one of the Boy Scouts of America's credos, which is leave it better than you found it. Now, the Boy Scouts have done a hell of a lot to be able to include not only gay scout masters or Boy Scouts, excuse me, and then also gay scout masters. Now, I don't, and that's one of the reasons why I like having you on board, is I can actually ask, how would people react to that African-American scoutmaster and stuff, because now my stomach's flipping up and down because I shouldn't have asked that question. I feel really weird about asking that question, and now I'm going to leave it up to you. So,
No, it's fine. No. I don't know. I was, again, you know, obviously I grew up in the South, Atlanta, Georgia. And even when I didn't grow up in the South, I went to Chicago one time. Like, I moved there for like a year and a half, 2 years. But I came to Oklahoma. I came to Tennessee, Kentucky. Like, I've always, except for two times in my life, I've always resided when I was in country in the South. And I think one of the funniest things is my grandfather, who is a white male, old white man from, for those who know, Middle Georgia. Just think about that area for those who don't know. He had me in the Boy Scouts of America. I made it to like Weeblo or something like that. I think I was like third or fourth level on and off.
Weeblo.
But we went there faithfully, and I was the only person of color there. I am, you know, mixed. Yeah. I think that was it, or I maybe made it past that one time, and that was it. Like, I haven't gone back to Boy Scouts in years. But my grandfather, he sent me there, and my scout master was a white male. My, you know, our den mother was obviously a white woman. I was the only person of color there, and I'm mixed. I'm Latino, I'm Boricuan, Puerto Rican, for those who don't know. And African-American and white, many things. And, you know, I never felt any sort of way about it. Again, I was younger then, and race relations, while I did have a slight concept of them because I was a young man of color in the South, I had no real grasp on the depth of the issue. But I've never, in all my days, even when I was in Cub Scouts in Chicago, in Chicago, like Southside Chicago, 51st and Morgan, I've never seen a black scoutmaster. Now, how people will react, I'm not sure. I think we've moved past a point where I think race isn't necessarily an issue. Now, I do know that from my experience, Cub Scouts of America, whether they're, you know, black parents, black children, Latino children, Asian children, the scoutmasters have always been, in my experience, white. It could be different anywhere else. But I feel like the reaction wouldn't be as serious. In all, again, it depends on where you're at. Obviously, in the South, you might have a reaction. In the North, I think it may be less so.
Well, okay. That's a lot of stuff to, you know, it's like taking, you know, a handful of cotton balls and trying to unpack that in your mouth as you think about the ideas you've actually just said. Wow. I'm going to be thinking about that the rest of the evening. Now I'm going to actually ask you a much more easily answered question. Well, I guess sometimes it may not be. This is going to be something that I'm wanting to do on interviews in the future. So for listeners, if you have other things that you would okay, I'm just going to get to it because it'll make more sense after I actually ask the question. Okay, Jay, this is a really serious question. What kind of fruit do you love, and exactly why do you love it?
I feel like, being from Georgia, the answer should be obvious, but unfortunately it's not.
Don't do it. Please make
I
it.
I like blueberries.
Okay.
I like blueberries a lot.
And why do you like blueberries so much?
Damn it. I don't know, I've always liked blueberries. My grandmother made, we were like burnt, but yeah, we were poor, but my grandmother made blueberry muffins for like ever. She still does it now. Like my entire life, we could have like no food in the fridge, but they were blueberry muffins. I don't know how she did it. I don't know which witchcraft it was, but I've always, just because of my grandmother, I've always loved blueberry muffins.
I will actually, since no one's actually going to host or do a hosting episode on me, since I'm kind of the host, I will actually say that strawberries are my particular favorite. I can do strawberries here or there. I can do strawberries anywhere, on a boat, in a coat. I don't care, because strawberries are freaking awesome. I can do them with or without sugar. I can just do strawberries.
See, strawberries are second, and strawberries are second only because my grandmother never did anything with strawberries. Because I love strawberry milk, strawberry ice cream, strawberries. Like, if there's something with strawberries, I'd love it. But my grandmother made me blueberry muffins and not strawberry. So, like, my grandmother beats it out, man. I'm sorry.
The strawberries are one of those fruits that whenever you actually sit down, it's really, really hard to mess up a strawberry. I mean, you would actually kind of have to go out of your way to mess up something that contains a strawberry. You really would have to go out of your way.
See, I feel bad for people with certain food allergies, because I'm just like, man, you're kind of missing out. I mean, it's one of those things where you will never know that you're missing out if you've never had it. But like my friend Khadijah, she doesn't care. I say her name on air. She has like zero. She doesn't care. She's allergic to coconut. So, like, we've went out to parties and, you know, there's like pina coladas and all this other stuff, and she can't partake.
I hate coconuts. I hate them. With a passion.
I don't know, man. I've never, like, I have weird feelings about coconuts. Because when it comes to, like, pina colada or those flavor drinks, that's great. When it comes to, like, the coconut itself or coconut water or, like, coconut oil, it's just those things I hate. Like, the products of coconuts I hate. But pina coladas and flavored stuff like that is great.
Just so you know, listeners, this will actually be aired after Jay has turned 18 years old, so he can actually not be legally held to speaking on my podcast about imbibing alcoholic beverages.
Wait, guys, we're talking about pina colada flavored items. Jesus, oh, guys, pina okay. colada flavored items.
So we're talking about the
talking about slushies and stuff, like stuff that has a tropical flavor.
Oh, okay, that's, yeah, big difference there, big difference. So thanks for clarifying that for me, Jay. One of the reasons why, me personally, I don't like coconut itself, it's just the mouth foot feel of I actually gagging a little bit right now. The mouthfeel of coconut itself, can't deal with it. It's like if a cockroach was sweet and then still chewable.
What? That is the oddest comparison, like, for a coconut I've ever heard.
Well, that's what it's like for me. It's my experience, so I can't say it for anyone else.
See, I've never had, like, raw coconut. I think the only thing I, like, absolutely love with coconuts is Samoa's, I think it is. The Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, yeah.
With the shredded coconut. I love that. I hate, I think I've had raw coconut once, and I was disgusted. It's like chalk.
It's not good. It's disgusting to me, which I'm sure we're going to give it a whole bunch of great information about coconuts, the mouthfeel, the flavor, and all of the caloric intake parameters of eating an actual coconut. So, yeah, get ready for that. So, I'm going to actually start wrapping it up now. So, Jay, I know you have a whole bunch of other things that you're doing at the moment. Start giving us a wrap-up of what else you have going on other than the Atheist podcast and some links and all that kind of stuff, so that way we can share it in the show notes and all that fun thingies, do thingies.
Alrighty, well, first off, you know, I also help host, and I think for the interview episode I hosted, George and I, the SOS or Sounds of Science podcast. I will be starting back up my Reverend Meadows and my Reverend Meadows podcast, and we do that live, YouTube, live stream it for the first time ever. For those of, in case any of my fans happen to get around to this, you will actually see my face. I know it's amazing, it's never happened before, but you know, since my age is out, I figure I might as well. the secret's out, guys. I have my clothing line, and we're doing our fall-winter collection for this year, which includes the new merchandise for the Godless collection. You know, our secular, you know, we got to be inflammatory, our secular gear. We also will have some RU Media, some Atheist Podcast, SOS, and Reverend Meadows products up soon. I'll also be doing collaboration with Linda Mello.
And
I'll make sure
that
on future podcasts to let y'all know how it goes.
Just so everyone knows, RU is Rationality Unleashed. Hey, go listen to or look at our Patreon campaign. Every person that actually links up with our Patreon page actually kind of makes this kind of stuff happen. And I'm sorry, because I'm a shill. I shill for, you know, I shill for RU, Rationality Unleashed, shill for vaccines, chemtrail. They don't pay too much. Mercury lobbyist, I pay for that, or get paid for that. big Sun, I get paid for that. Big Mac, that's it. Big Apple, I get paid. I wish they would actually pay their bill for my computer, so I get paid for Big Apple. I don't do Big PC so much, there's that. I get paid Big Beer because I like big beers. Actually, Big Beers is really talented in paying me because they give me a product that I love, and then I have to buy it because I love their products. So that's a win-lose situation. lose-lose.
That's called alcoholism.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, young Jedi. Oh, then there's Big Star Wars.
You're just a big, you're a big shield for everybody, man.
Oh, well, yeah, I love Big Star Wars. I shield. Hey, for Star
Big
Wars.
Star Wars.
Then there's also, well, by extension, Big Star Trek. Whoop 9.
Wow, sir, you are just, sir, you've just been a big shill for everybody. You're shilling yourself out there, man.
Oh,
God.
Yeah. And then also, I would love to be big paycheck shill, which I'm not. So all of the shills that I've done, make me big shill. Please help me be big shill. And you can do that by going to www.patreon.rationalityunleashed. Help me be big chill.
Good. Last project I want to mention, though, I have several projects going on at once, but I just want to mention two. I do graphic art for people on coding websites, and I will leave my email for that in the show notes. And, you know, y'all can have examples of my work. In fact, there should be some coming soon. Also, I am starting a new channel or series, or however I shall work it out, because YouTube versus TV is way different. I will be putting it under the Rationality Unleashed banner, and it'll be for all the gamers, the nerds, the neeks, a new group, a dance group, the geeks, and anyone else who just loves technology and gaming and entertainment, and we'll try to keep it as cool as possible. I'll also be having a new political series to kind of go with the 2016 campaign we have coming up, or the election we have coming up. And that will be most likely under my Rev Meadows channel, which link will be to below in the show notes. And, we just got a lot of stuff going on. Hopefully, trying to be successful.
Okay, well, I think we're probably going to wrap it up there, since we're hitting up against our normal. And I think we're going to wrap things up now, folks. Please take a look at the show notes and go to Jay, a.k.a. Pastor Jay, and look at all of his stuff that he's doing on YouTube and also on Rationality Unleashed. Also, again, like I said before, if you wouldn't mind, www.patreon.com/RU Media. It'd be great if you guys would come and like us, or just give us a good review, because good reviews pretty much are as good as gold. And that's it for tonight, folks. I'd like to thank John, George, and of course all of you for joining in on the conversation. Please make sure to like us on Facebook. You can find the links to our page and all of the other associated websites in the show notes. We're now live on iTunes. If you like us, please give us a rating, maybe even a good review. That always helps. If you want to support the show and any of the other projects associated with Rationality Unleashed Media, please feel free to donate via our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/rationalityunleashed. Because we post quite a bit of content, please make sure you set a monthly maximum if you don't want to go over a certain budget. If you want to make a one-time donation to RU Media, please use our GoFundMe page at www.gofundme.com/RU Media. Your support helps us with all of the hosting costs, equipment, and all of the other costs associated with producing quality content across platforms. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Atheist Podcast, a production of Rationality Unleashed Media, rationalityunleashed.net, or you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/rationalityunleashed.